about how many of you know your lives can change. 2 Kings chapter 6 talks about a man. You don't need to turn there. Bible says Elisha had caused havoc because he had caused the Syrian army to surround the city of Samaria. They were looking for him. You know you're a big shot when an entire army comes to arrest you and they still can't get to you. The Bible says the king one day is walking around. Food could not get into the city, could not get out to get supplies. They had turned to cannibalism inside the city. And the king is hunting for Elisha's head. And the king, when he finds Elisha, this is what the king says. You're the one that has caused all this trouble. All of this calamity is from the Lord. Why should we wait on the Lord anymore? Have you ever thought that? God, why is all of this bad happening? Why is all bad happening? Why should I wait? And the word wait there means to trust or to hope in. Why should I wait on you anymore? Have you ever gotten to that point in your life? That's why the song we did, you're my glory and the lifter of my head when the terror of the enemy comes. Psalm 91 says that we don't have to be afraid of the terrorist by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the destruction at noonday, or the pestilence. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the angels of the Lord encamp around about those who fear the Lord. But the king said, why should we wait any longer? Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you've said, God, we got to do something. If you don't, I am. Because something's got to happen. And that's the end of chapter 6. But thank God for chapter 7, because chapter 7 begins this way. And Elisha said, O king, hear the word of the Lord. O king, hear the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was this: by this time tomorrow. Look at your watch. By this time tomorrow, things are going to turn around. David said this in Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart had I not believed. You said something earlier about how many of you have your receptors up? How many of you are expecting? Well, you know, expectation is the opposite side of the coin. Faith is on one side. Expectation is the hope, is the other side. Because expectation is joyful hope. You don't hope you're going to have an accident. You hope that everything is going to turn out good. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's like a paradox. That's like an oxymoron. The substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever gone to court and the judge calls a witness up and says, okay, what did you see? Oh, I didn't see anything, Your Honor, but I just felt something in my heart. I don't think so. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, whereas a Happy Meal has been $4.95, by this time tomorrow, you'll be able to get a Happy Meal for 99 cents. And the Bible says the man that the king that the king leaned his arm on said to Elisha. Now watch. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You say, well, does that just mean that literally? Well, we'll see. We'll see if it just means that literally. The Bible says the man that the king leaned on said, man of God, I heard what you said. But if God himself were to open the windows of heaven, what you said could not happen. Wrong answer. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 2 says, or chapter 11, verse 2. It says, and the elders of the Old Testament, by faith, the elders received a good report. Now, do you know what that means? The word report is also translated, they got a good record, or by faith, they had a good testimony. I shared this last Sunday that I was just attending a service one Sunday morning, and the pastor was reading from Revelation chapter 12, where it says, and we are made to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our life even unto the death. Say, well, I like number one, but I don't like number two and three. You overcome the enemy by the blood, by the word of your testimony, and by loving not your life even unto the death. That's how you overcome. Well, this minister said, and it stirred my Pentecostal roots up, man. He said the blood was not enough. I wanted to stand up and rebuke him. And right as I'm about to stand up, the Lord said, you just hold your seat, son. And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, do you remember in the book of Exodus that the night before they left Egypt, they took the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost of their house? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, good. He said, it was the blood that got them out of Egypt to the wilderness. He said, but it was their testimony that either got them into the promised land or kept them out of the promised land. It was their testimony. I said, well, Lord, I'm glad I did not make a fool out of myself. See, it's your testimony. Numbers 13 tells the story of the spies that went into the promised land. Two out of 3 million were able to go into the promised land. 2,999,998 died in the wilderness. It was their testimony. What was their testimony? Well, the testimony of the 10 that kept them out was this. God, we know that the land is good. Look, we brought a cluster of grapes. It's awesome in that land. But, I love what the King James says, nevertheless. Nevertheless translated into modern English is but. How many of you have ever said, I know God is able, but. Do you know what you're saying? Do you know what the word nevertheless means? The word nevertheless means, forget what I just said. I'm about to tell you what I really think. I know God is able, but you haven't seen what I've been going through. You have no clue. I love the verse David said, I would have lost heart had I not believed. faith. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What does that mean? That means that you shout before your eyes see the victory, which is the substance of what you've hoped for, the evidence. How many of you believed what Betty said a while ago about the breakthrough? I did. I believe we're about to see some breakthroughs. I don't want to just break through, though. I want to break out. A man in prison don't want to just break through. He wants to break out. So your testimony. The man that leaned on the king's arm said, if God himself were to do this, it wouldn't happen. And Elisha said, sir, I really feel sorry for you, because your eyes will see the victory, but you will not taste one morsel of the food that is provided. And you know the story. He got trampled the next day when it happened. But watch this, though. God used four lepers. Amen, Joey. I got that. I got it. The outcast. Those that feel like they're not good enough. Could I share a word the Lord gave me not long ago? I'm going to anyway, so just get ready. This is what I heard the Lord say. Things are about to drastically change. The church, the nation, the world are about to drastically change. I'm going to use those who have been on the backside of the desert, keeping those few sheep. Hallelujah. You thought your A game was over. You had been relegated to the backside of the desert and to the bench, to the showers, for those of you who understand sports. Not needed anymore. Your gifts and your talents weren't needed any longer. Moses was on the backside of the desert, working for his father-in-law. Now he's already 80, and he's still working for his father. How bad can it get? You're working for your father-in-law. Betty and I were in our devotion the other day. We were praying, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know the burning bush? Moses was on this side of the burning bush. He had no clue what was on the other side of the burning bush. And the Lord said, that's where you are. I said, wow. That's kind of like mixed emotions. You know what mixed emotions is? It's watching your mother-in-law go over a cliff in your new Mercedes. Some of you will get that on your way home. Yeah. Betty doesn't like that one because she's a mother-in-law now, but she's a good mother-in-law. But the Lord said, Joey and Betty, you're on this side of the burning bush. I'm about to give you an assignment, a new assignment. And I'm going, wow. You know, normally God waits until you are so ready that you really don't care what it is. You just say, I'm ready. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready. Moses is on the backside of the desert tending his father-in-law's sheep, 80 years old, working for his father-in-law, sheep tending. But he came to Horeb. Now watch. The word Horeb means, it's referred to as the mountain of God. All through Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the word Horeb means, it's referred to as the mountain of God. But listen to what the word Horeb means. It means to be desolate, to be destroyed, to be killed, to decay, to dry up, to lay or to make waste. That's why it was so important for Moses to make it to Mount Horeb, because he was lying waste. Have you ever thought, God, look at all of these years behind me. They've been fruitful. And here I am now. what lies in front of me. And the enemy plays tricks with your mind, makes you feel like you're no good, like you're a second-class citizen, like you're a has-been. You know, a lot of times, Betty and I, the music we do, the worship, they call it old school. Well, hey, old school is new school. Do you know Bill Johnson? Bill Johnson said the other day, he said, do you know when I get into my worship time, when I'm ministering to the congregation, he said, do you know what songs I pull from? As the deer panteth for the... I'm going, well, that's an 80s song. And he goes, well, that's when I was young. Betty and I have been reading through the Psalms. How many of you memorized verses by singing them? But we've gotten too good for that, haven't we? That's what happened with Moses, lying waste, drying up. But God showed up, even in his desolation and lying waste, and renewed him, refired him, gave him a new assignment and a new purpose. God is not through with you today. Today, God's going to renew your vision and your purpose. Also, there are people in this room that have blown it. Royally. So bad that you thought God would never use you again. You thought he had given up on you, that you could never be used by him again. Samson blew it royally. He used the very gifts that God had given him to bring himself fame, fortune, and pleasure. Selah. He broke the vow between him and God. Samson tried to get as close to sin as possible. Church, hear me. Tried to get as close to sin as possible. He laid his head in Delilah's lap, and he wound up in the Philistine prison, blind, grinding the corn and the grain. He was the laughing stock of all of his enemies. But Judges 16:22 says, however, look at somebody and say, however, his hair began to grow again after it had been shaven. God had Samson in the right place and preparing his heart. Matter of fact, he was repairing and preparing. I believe that God is preparing and repairing people's hearts for the greatest days of ministry that lie ahead. I really do. God had Samson in the right place, repairing and preparing his heart for the greatest victory of his life. God's getting some of you in the position for the greatest victory. You say, God, I feel like a pawn. Good. Because pawns can move in any direction. How many of you are ready? Is there anybody ready? Is there anybody that's hungry and thirsty? Let me close with this. Let me, two closings. Will you allow me two closings? By this time tomorrow, let me give you a testimony. Betty and I were ministering in Carterville, Missouri, right outside Joplin. And one night, I ministered to a man in the back, tall guy, probably in his early 60s. And I ministered to him. I said, sir, by this time tomorrow, and it was about 8:30. I said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to see God break through for you. I didn't know who he was. The next night, after service, we got home. His son-in-law, who is a good friend of ours, called and he said, Joey, you and Betty needed to hear this testimony. Said he was my father-in-law. He is a car dealer. He sells vehicles in Joplin. He said, today, Wednesday, was the last day of the month, and he lacked four vehicles meeting his quota to get his bonus for the month. Said he went to work that morning, 4 o'clock, nothing had happened. Nada. He said, some of his friends said, aren't you leaving? It's 4 o'clock. He said, God's not through here. God said by this time tomorrow night. So he stayed at his desk. About 7 o'clock, his phone rang. And it was a man, businessman there in Joplin. He said, are you still there? He said, yes, I am. He said, could I come down? I need to buy 3 trucks. Would you stay? Hello? Of course. So the guy came down, picked out 3 trucks, and sat down to write a check out for it. And while the man, the salesman is writing up all the paperwork, and the man starting to write a check, he said, hold on just a minute. He said, is it too late for me to buy one more truck? See, by this time tomorrow, God can turn your world upside down if you believe it. Betty and I got home from Ecuador on October the 13th, 2014. We got home. We took the red-eye special from Quito to Houston. Got home about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Normally, when we do that, we come home, go straight to bed. But this morning, I went upstairs, started doing book work. Betty started washing clothes, getting everything ready, you know, unpacked. And we're going, what's going on? Well, that night about 6 o'clock, I got a phone call from a friend in Southern California. And our friend said, could you be in Southern California? Can you be in Orange County by 9 o'clock in the morning? I'm going, excuse me? She said, Pastor Benny Hinn needs a keyboard player. And I told him about you and said, could you come? Well, Betty's in the background. She's going, you ain't going without me. And so she said, while she's talking, I get on the internet and I find that there's a flight that leaves at 6 o'clock, arrives in Orange County at 9. So I said, well, I've already looked. There's a flight. She said, well, hold on. So about 5 minutes later, I got a text from Nancy, and Nancy said, here's Pastor Benny Hinn's cell phone number. He wants you to call him. As I dialed that number, I felt like I was calling the Pope. You know? I dialed it. It rang. Hello? Pastor Benny, hello? How are you, my friend? And he said, can you be in Southern California by 9 o'clock? I said, well, yes, sir, I can. Betty and I just got home from Ecuador. He said, what do you do? I said, well, Betty and I travel, we minister, we sing. He said, bring her along with you. So Betty and I mean, we didn't sleep that night. We got on the plane at 6 o'clock. Landed in Orange County. They took us straight to the hotel. We changed clothes, and we had no clue why we were going. We just said, yes, Lord. Had no clue why we were going. We got dressed. At 11:30, we showed up at his studio and found out that in 5 minutes, we're going on live television on God TV around the world. I'm going. Pastor Benny walked into the studio about 5 minutes before we go on the air. He goes, what is your name? He didn't even know my name. What is your name? My name is Joey. Joey? And Betty goes, his given name is Joseph. So Pastor Benny goes, you're Joseph from now on. I said, yes, sir. So I sat at the keyboard, and for 2.5 hours, No rehearsal. He said, do you know because he lives? I said, yes, I know he lives. He said, no, the song, do you know because? I said, yes, sir, I know. He said, okay, give me a key. Mama. Okay, that's it. So for 2.5 hours, we're on live with Wendy and Pastor Benny and us singing and ministering for 2.5 hours. Betty and I got back home, and we got to watch that program about 40 times over the next 3 and 4 weeks. They told Pastor Benny, they said, that program produced more income for God TV than any of the other programs we've ever done. And they kept showing it. It was right after the problems that God TV had. And Pastor Benny, we just ministered. We just ministered the love of Jesus. But do you see how your life? You have no clue what Monday is going to bring for you. You have no clue what God wants to do in you for those who are willing and obedient. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you today. Father, I thank you that you have a purpose. You have a plan. Father, I thank you that not one person in this room, that their life is going to ever be the same again. I thank you that you are stirring up the gift of hope. You are stirring up the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That you are stirring up the vision. One more time, you're stirring it up. And I thank you, Father. Your word does not return void, but it accomplishes everything that you send it out to accomplish. And I give you praise today, Lord. Betty and I just want to say thank you. Lord, we look back and we see where you've brought us from. But the best is yet to come.